minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. I'm Brady Hull. We've got Angel on the other side of the bulletproof glass. Did you get a little sunburn over the big weekend?
Just a little sunburn.
Yeah, just there's a little bit. It's looking, I'm sure it looked a lot worse 2 days ago.
Oh, it was bad on Saturday. When I got home from the game, I was like, sunscreen would have been smart.
And the Bears didn't even deliver a W. So you went through all that.
Got burnt for nothing.
And you got burnt for nothing. Tough weekend. I was off yesterday. Obviously, we were off Monday. Tough weekend for college football in our area. Wyoming wins. Air Force wins. Outside of that, rough go. Big question mark. Did you get this, dude? CU, I don't think's favored the rest of the way. Like, it's in the line in the Air Force games, like it's 16 now or something like that. Continues to move. Things are bad for CU. At least CSU has the new thing, the honeymoon phase. And they went up against Michigan. I'll get into this later, but stop going after Clay. Listen, I know I have a connection with Clay Millen. We have the Clay Millen Show Monday. What did you really expect? A freshman quarterback going to the big house for his very first game, very, very new system, at least to CSU. It's going to take time. That would have taken time even if he was in Nevada, because he's the new guy. So just fans sometimes just floor me with this stuff. You know, the fact that you get a new quarterback, a new coach, and you expect to well, I wanted to be competitive against Michigan. I thought the Rams would cover. Was I disappointed that they didn't cover? Sure. But the sky was not falling for me. It was not. It didn't reach that threshold of, oh, well, they were blown out 70-0. That it didn't reach that for me. Michigan, I mean, that's a good football team. CSU has some stuff to work on. Got to figure it out. Going up against Middle Tennessee this weekend. So I expect a much different performance from Colorado State. But we also need to remember, this is year one of this new Fort Air Raid era. You know, and again, there wasn't Fort Air Raid yesterday, what I saw Saturday. We didn't think it would be. We had Kevin Lytle, who's our Rams insider, talk to us very specifically about that, saying, hey, I don't think you should expect Fort Air Raid against Michigan. You should expect a softened version of that, more run heavy, and that's what happened. Clay was, you know, the offensive line struggled, all that. So I have some interesting stats that I'll get to on that. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from last night, presented by, well, the weekend, I guess, too. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Hey, how about this? So I was in Denver yesterday, jumping on some Denver airwaves with some friends of ours, and I made my pick at the end. I said, Rockies are winning. We're going over 11 in the over-under. Nailed it. Thank you very much to, Randall Grisham.
Here's that 3-2 pitch. And driven to left field and deep. This one is long gone. It hit the concourse. It's a three-run home run. It's a walk-off for Randall Grichuk.
Doesn't get much better than the Sheminator calling a Rockies big play. Jerry Schimmel, one of the best in the business. And you forget what it's like to hear those calls because it doesn't happen very often. But the Rockies, 58-79. It's still possible to get to 72, Angel. Mathematically, right? Is it? Is it anymore? I don't know.
Numbers in baseball are just 14, gone right now.
14 game? 14 win? Yeah, you're right.
Don't ask me about baseball.
You're right. All right, moving on. The bad for me is not necessarily that Bradley Chubb was named a captain. It's that the response is, well, who else would it have been? And that's scary to me. I mean, I was talking to a pretty prominent former Denver Bronco yesterday about that those two Super Bowl wins back in the late 90s, and you had a plethora of defensive guys that would have made sense as a captain. John Mobley, Steve Atwater, Alfred Williams, Bill Romanowski, List goes on and on and on. And so it's changed, certainly. And it's Justin Simmons, obviously. And then who else? You wanted to get two offensive guys. You wanted to get two defensive guys. You wanted to get special teams. So it makes sense. It's just the bad for me is that the response is, well, who else would it have been? It means you're not excited about anybody else on that roster on the defensive side of the football. Kareem Jackson, maybe? I don't know. The ugly outside of Air Force. And Wyoming beat Tulsa in like 87 overtimes or whatever it was. That's cool and everything. But it was a rough outing. CU-TCU, the biggest takeaway. That was just embarrassing. And I don't know what Carl Durrell was doing.
He is. I've been following CU Twitter a little bit the past couple days. They are not happy.
Well, okay, what was it, Angel? Relatively close game still. It's 7-6 at halftime.
Yeah, it was a close game, and they had like 99 yards to go or something, and they bring in C.J. Stroud. Not C.J. Stroud.
They bring in Brent. Was it when they brought Brendan Lewis back in, or was that J.T. Stroud?
J.T. Stroud. Yeah, sorry, I got him. They're Stroud, very similar. Stroud. All the letters are the same. Matter. But they brought him in, and he led them down the field for a little bit. And you start thinking, okay, maybe we'll continue this in the second
quarterback
half.
Quarterback change, right?
And then you saw Lewis come out, and it's like, oh.
What are we doing here?
Well, why?
What are we doing? And then there was it in the third quarter? Was it still 7-6? The Buffs are in TCU territory. They crossed over the 50. It's 4th-and-6 or something like that. And they punt it instead of going for it to try to get some momentum going. And they punt it. Touchback, TCU gets the ball at the 20. So, what, net 20-yard punt, something like that? And then TCU just proceeds to run the ball down CU's throat the rest of the game. That game felt like it was on coaching. I hate to go there, but it was. You know, you just said it, the quarterback change, it wasn't working with Brendan Lewis. So try JT Shrout. Stay with him in the second half, see what happens. We still don't know. We still don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be or what the quarterback situation looks like this weekend against Air Force. And it might not really matter.
It might not, but it's very obvious to us, to the fans, to the supporters of CU that Stroud needs to be the quarterback.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. The UNC Bears, yeesh. They came back, made it interesting. So David Hogue's out indefinitely. We didn't get that information until game time. That's a big loss. Is he out for this? He's out indefinitely is what we're reading.
Yeah, as far as I know, it's indefinitely. I was looking for him out on Saturday. I didn't see him on the field, didn't see him on the sidelines. So I'm, you know, checking Twitter, seeing what Blake Olsen, if he knew anything. And yeah, suffered an injury in practice late last week, probably like the last practice before the game. And he's out indefinitely. And that's just a huge loss for that defense.
It's a huge loss there. Dylan, does he get hurt in this game? I'm still not 100%. So he gets hurt. He gets hurt in this game.
Yeah, so when I noticed, it was about mid-second quarter. I saw him on the sideline. He was kind of reaching for his right side a little bit, kind of just feeling around there. He had a trainer over there talking to him. And then he played one series in the second half, and then Jacob Sermon came in. So Dylan was benched. And on the coach's show last night, Coach McCaffrey said that the trainers told him that Dylan needed to be out.
Okay, it's official. It's an injury.
Yes.
We don't know how serious, though.
Yes.
Which is typical for especially college football. We don't know until we know. Does that mean Sermon's the guy against Wyoming this weekend? Or does Dylan get another shot here and maybe he's healthy enough to play? It feels like this was stuff that happened last year.
Yeah, Dylan got his shoulder hurt in week 2 of last year, and then he was kind of just dealing with that nagging injury all season.
Mm-hmm.
This, obviously, we don't know what the injury is, the severity of it, but I think there is a certain, maybe a group of Bears fans that are calling for Jacob Sermon to start.
Well, they're built about the same. If his last name is not McCaffrey, I'm just asking the question. If I were the head coach of a football team and my son was on the team and I got him transferred from Michigan, it would be difficult. I couldn't do that.
Sure,
I couldn't bench the guy.
It's a story that's followed UNC since McCaffrey got here. It's a story that's going to stick around until some kind of decision gets made. And obviously you want the best for your team. You want the best players out in the field. And I personally don't like to think that Coach McCaffrey is just putting Dylan in the starter because he's his son. I think there is some talent there, and he's, you know, there's a lot going on in the locker room and on the practice field that we don't see, that maybe Dylan is that guy. And, you know, you can't really predict injuries and the severity of it, but, you know, you can't deny that Alex or Jacob Sermon moved the ball pretty well on Saturday. They got within five points before they fumbled it, but, you know, they were able to come back in that game where I thought
it was over. Panic button time?
Not as much. I saw a lot more positives out there than I saw negatives. Obviously, you got to clean up penalties, cleaning up turnover, stuff like that. But the energy on the sideline was different. I don't know if you saw, they have a turnover cowboy hat now.
Nice.
From Greeley Hat Works. I know that Brooks talking to
him. Brooks probably hooked him up with that.
So it's a cool little gimmick that they have. It's gimmicky, whatever, but it gets the energy pumping. I saw it out a couple times on the weekend. So the energy is there. The confidence is there. It's a tough loss. You talk to the players, talk to the coach last night. It's a tough loss. You got to watch the film, get better, but we're moving on to week two.
Yeah. Yep. Moving on to week two. My player of the week, presented by Zvi Brewing, is a guy that the Bears will go see this weekend, who bounced back after a rough outing in 0 week, bounced back in a big way against Tulsa. And congratulations to quarterback Andrew Peasley. Yeah. Love that. Wyoming Cowboys, 20 of 30, 256 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a win over Tulsa. And the Cowboys, that was one of my picks that nailed, that I got it. Okay, good. I went 2-3 over the weekend. I am a 2-4 right now in local picks. Need a bounce back weekend to stay above water. You don't want to fall too far behind week two. So big week two coming up. Very big week. Two of my picks will be playing each other, so that will be interesting to see how that one goes down. You're not there, right, Angel? You're not.
Where at?
You're not saying the Bears are going to beat the Cowboys on Saturday.
Not saying they're not going to beat them. Be interesting.
Oh, Angel. All right, we got a lot to get to. The captains have been chosen for the Denver Broncos: Russell Wilson, Cortland Sutton, Bradley Chubb, Brandon McManus, and then of course Justin Simmons. What do you think of Bradley Chubb being named a captain? Any issues with that? Go vote at theholeshow.com. That's our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. All right, quick break coming up. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to my great friends Lemons Heating and Cooling. They're rocking and rolling, man. It's still freaking hot, although I think help is on the way later this week or into the weekend. Either way, that air conditioning unit has been rocking all summer. You might want to get that looked at, and then be prepared. The weather's going to change, hopefully, at some point. Lemons Heating and Cooling. Get that HVAC system up to date. 970-567-0798. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Do you have any issues with Bradley Chubb being named a captain? And I get it. This is voted on by the players. They see Bradley Chubb as a leader. He is in a contract year. I mean, this guy, we're saying, hey, anything but great, and he's probably not a Bronco anymore. You drafted Nick Benito. You have Randy Gregory. You have guys that you like that can be your pass rushers in the future. That was the draft pick. It was all about drafting Nick Benito and then suddenly putting pressure on Bradley Chubb. And now he's a captain. Now, it's, again, voted on by the teams. Now, a little birdie tells me that it's voted on by the teams, but if the coaches aren't really crazy about the person that wins the vote, they kind of have the right, at least in some teams, in some situations, they kind of have the right to veto a little bit. Maybe fudge the numbers a little bit. But that's the thing. Who are you fudging the numbers for? Bradley Chubb is probably the biggest name on that defense outside of Justin Simmons, for better or worse. And you want two offensive guys, at least the way Nathaniel Hackett does. You want two offensive guys, two defensive guys, and a special teams guy. Well, that's obviously Brandon McManus. That was an obvious one. Good for him. Lead that special teams unit with grace, young man.
Do we as fans put too much value into captains on NFL teams?
We do. We absolutely do.
Does it really mean anything to have the C on your jersey? I get in the locker room, that's one thing. But on the field, does that really affect how you're going to play?
Doesn't it depend on the captain, though? Like, Peyton Manning is the sheriff, the captain. Like, that means something. Russell Wilson, being a captain, he's already doing captain-y things. So, again, yesterday in my journey into Denver, I asked, like, what does a captain do? I was just told, hey, they go out and give special chats before the game, pregame chats and pump-up chats and things like that. That's their job.
The post-game snack or something.
I guess. And I was like, so nothing else? Like barbecue get-togethers or team-building experiments or anything like that? Nothing like that? Yeah, not really. But, I mean, if you're a captain, you're a captain. So do we have any Bradley Chubb audio? Here's Bradley Chubb talking about what it means to him and what kind of captain he's going to be for the Broncos.
It's dope, man. It just puts the icing on the cake, you know what I mean? It puts kind of like a title on all the hard work, all the type of leadership I've been trying to instill and stuff like that. So it's a great accomplishment to be looked at that by your peers and stuff like that. So got to wear it with pride.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. You know, he talked about leading by example and all that stuff. You don't even have to have that number. I mean, the team's going to choose their captains and what they want to do. Should have just been simple as Russell Wilson, Justin Simmons, and Brandon McManus. Cortland Sutton is a captain, too. And I get it. He's getting to that point where he's kind of a leader. But, you know, we're shocked about Bradley Chubb. Why not just go Russell, Justin Simmons, and Brandon McManus? Okay, it's the captains. Who cares? I guess it doesn't really matter that much. But the underlying issue here is that your response, Hooligans, is, well, who else was it going to be? And I don't like that. And that's not your fault. That's the reasonable question. That makes me a little concerned when you look at the roster. Again, as we've been talking about this, Bradley Chubb is the captain. Doesn't necessarily, I mean, does the captain always mean that they're like one of the best players on the team? Maybe not, but typically it does, doesn't it? Typically your captains are your better players.
Yeah, your star players, your leaders, your locker room guys, your, you know, starters usually, and guys that just have that mentality and leadership ability to, you know, be the captain.
Yeah. And so you're saying kind of that Chubb, we think he's a leader. We also think he's kind of one of the top guys on this team. And we're wondering if he's going to make this team next year. If he's going to be on this team next year, not make this team. He'll be on a roster somewhere. I fully believe that Bradley Chubb will have a good year. I actually do. But it still just seems a little interesting that, you know, that's the faith has been put into this guy, not Kareem Jackson, which, again, it's hard to say Kareem Jackson because for 2 years in a row now, he is headed out for better open waters to see if he could get a better deal. And then when he doesn't find that better deal, he comes back to Denver, and that's fine. It's part of the business, but it's hard to say he could be a captain if that's, you know, he's looking for a better opportunity, and as they all are, but he's still looking for a better opportunity. It's harder to name a guy like that a captain. Bradley Chubb's been he was drafted by the Broncos. That I think that has some clout too. But this is, make no mistake about it, this is a huge year for Bradley Chubb, for Dalton Reisner, for Jerry Jeudy. I mean, these are, we have some big make or break years for these guys, which makes it even more fun, doesn't it? I love the pressure. Watching a guy every game. I mean, that's why I loved watching Von Miller, knowing, okay, he has to earn that Hall of Fame title that I've been bestowing upon him. So every game you're watching closely, like, come on, do something big here. Come on, build up that stat line. That's fun. I like to watch these individual matchups and root for guys individually, too. I want Bradley Chubb, trust me, to earn a contract, to earn a long-term contract with Denver. The dude's built like a machine. He can move. He's quick. Just hasn't been able to put it all together. And I guess we'll see what happens this season. Who do you think's more likely to, in that prove it year, if you're saying, I'm saying those three guys, essentially. Dalton Reisner, who is in a contract year. Bradley Chubb's in a contract year. Jerry Jeudy's not in a contract year. But you are at a point where you want to see him do something, or you might move on from him at some point. The speed is there. Who's more likely to have that prove it year roll and either get the contract extension or ease Broncos fans' minds as far as, hey, no, I'm here for the long haul. I'm going to be a good player for this team.
I think there's pressure on all three. Obviously, you want Dalton to, you know, solidify his spot on this offensive line, a guy that's going to be able to be there and protect Wilson for a long time. Jeudy obviously has the drops and the inconsistencies, and you want to see him become that guy that he was in college. But I think it's still on Bradley Chubb. Every time I hear Broncos fans talk about him on Twitter or anywhere else,
like, you think he'll do it?
It's Bradley Chubb needs to step up.
But do you think he's the one more likely to do it?
I can't really comment. I don't know what their defense sets up like and how they want to use him, but I think the pressure's on. I think this captain selection for him might be a vote of confidence. Like, hey, we think you can do this.
Yeah.
Go out there and do it. Or, you know, that captain pick was just a bad idea.
I think even if the team, if it was a close vote or whatever and Chubb wasn't the guy, if I'm the head coach of the Denver Broncos, Nathaniel Hackett, I'm kind of saying, you know what? Let's use this. This guy, it has all the right stuff physically. He has all the intangibles. How do we get him to take that next step and take ownership and go to the next level and earn a contract? Because you'd much rather see your own guys do it. You know, what do they say in the business world? Cost more to hire new employees as opposed to just growing with your current employees. That's what they want. They want to grow with Bradley Chubb. They know what he is. They know who he is. They know what he can do, and this is different coaching. You know, Vic Fangio knew what he can do. Sounds like Nathaniel Hackett knows what he can do. I mean, he's been giving him high praise all season, or all offseason. So that's definitely a guy that you look at and say, maybe he can have one of those years to truly earn that contract back. Yeah, Dixon, we won't bring that back. If you want Chubb to do well, you better not do the Chubb sackometer. Yeah, that never really panned out for us. Thanks, Dixon. Appreciate that. That never really worked. Every time I set something up, a sack-o-meter, a win-o-meter, or whatever, it's never been good for the team that we're rooting for or the player that we're rooting for. So we'll probably stay away from that this year. I mean, seriously, I did the Nuggets win counter in the playoffs a couple years ago when they got bounced. Maybe it was last year. I don't know, but they got bounced early. I did the sack-o-meter. I think I did one more. I did the yards-o-meter, too, didn't I? The rush-o-meter with, I think it was Melvin Gordon. And maybe Philip Lindsay? And I had, I did. And then that really didn't. That was kind of more fun because both, you know, I think Lindsay had 1,000 yards that year. Maybe not. No, that wasn't the year he had 1,000. That was the year after, and Melvin Gordon kind of made sure Philip Lindsay was not a Denver Bronco anymore. Here's an interesting story, Angel, that I'm going to get to on the other side. Should we be worried about Russell Wilson when things don't go his way? A very interesting article on the ESPN written by Brady Henderson. Fantastic first name. There's some insight to when it all started to go wrong for Russ in Seattle. And we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it next. 34 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jenny Kavnar from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Sorry, Angel. A little air guitar for you. It's my job to not just entertain the hooligans, but to entertain you over there, dude. You got to sit in that chair from like 5:30 in the morning to, well, I guess 12:30 today. So I got to entertain you, man.
I take breaks. I stand up every now
you do,
and then.
Do you? Do you run around? Do you run around a little bit? Do some push-ups, jumping jacks? Kind of nothing crazy?
Little stretches here and there just to keep my back loose, but...
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Weldworks got a Friday new beer release every single Friday. And guess what, Angel? It's Wednesday. We're really close to the big, big NFL football weekend. Starts tomorrow night.
One more sleep and then two more sleeps. That's the worst way. You get the Thursday night game and then it's, oh, we got Friday and Saturday.
Are you more of a college guy or an NFL guy? Like if you were stranded on an island and for some reason there's a television there plugged into some kind of thing, an electric box, and you have to pick one, all NFL games that you want or all college games that you want. The best games too.
This is difficult for me. Obviously, I grew up in college football in Alabama in the Deep South, like just living and breathing every single day was college football.
Yeah.
I moved out here, you know, into Broncos country, let's ride. But
let's ride, Russ.
You kind of get in, you kind of just follow along with it. You get into it. I wasn't into the NFL for a long time, and then I think probably around 2010 I started, you know, keeping up with it a little bit. I was a Broncos supporter for a little while with Peyton Manning. That's tough because, like, obviously I have my own team now, so I'm interested in the NFL a lot more. I love the unpredictableness of college football. Obviously, we saw that over the weekend.
Oh, my goodness. What
craziness
happened?
In every game, it seems. And then the NFL, it's just the intensity of it. You know these guys are professionals. They're working their tails off to win these games. It's every play matters. Every game matters. So
I have
it's tough.
So, but you have to pick which one. You got to pick. You're on an island. You're Tom Hanks in Castaway. And instead of Wilson of volleyball, you have a TV. And you get to pick all the greatest NFL games or all of the greatest college games. Any game you want. Just got to pick one.
I think I'm going to go college.
Ooh. See, I'm more of an NFL guy, and here's one simple reason why. The progression of these players. You get to follow them for multiple years. College football, I mean, 2 to 3 years if they're studs, you know. And then again, just even younger guys. Love Clay Millen. I can't wait to watch his career. But I'm watching his career at CSU for 4 years. Like, watching a quarterback grow up with your team or whatever, following their careers, you get to do that for a much longer time. All these quarterback controversies, like, not controversies, but quarterback competitions between who's the best. College football recharges that pretty much every year. So I just love that it's like, this year, is it going to be Russ? Is it going to be Lamar? Is it going to be Josh Allen? Notice that I went Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson first. Those two guys are great. Josh Allen, all that. Patrick Mahomes. You get to continue to follow that storyline. And in college football, it's great. And don't get me wrong, I absolutely love it. But you don't get that ever, you know, that constantly not evolving as far as the, or that's what you get in college, is the evolving roster changes. NFL, you get that too, but you can really latch on to a quarterback like you're doing with Tua in Miami. You hopefully, for your sake, you're going to do that for the next 5 to 10 years.
God, I hope so.
I guess it depends on how it all goes down. I can't wait for our first Thursday night special tomorrow, too. You ready for this, by the way?
Yeah, I've been looking at some stuff from both teams. I don't know where you're going yet, but it's good little content for both. Obviously, Super Bowl champions versus the Super Bowl favorites, the MVP favorite.
Oh, my goodness.
In L.A., they're raising the banner. It's going to be a big night, getting football back.
The Josh Allen tomorrow night. You're not into this. I get it. I know why. He's
a rival.
I can respect
Josh Allen. He's a very good athlete, very good quarterback, easily top three in the league right now. I wouldn't feel good about it rooting for him.
So that's why you're like, no, Bills aren't winning tomorrow night.
They could win, lose, I don't care.
Well, I'm pumped for it. First pick, we're going undefeated this year. Cannot wait. Very excited about that. This story in ESPN.com that I checked out this morning, it's a long read, so sit down. Grab something, coffee or whatever. It's beer day, I guess. Good Morning NoCo talked about beer today, so grab a beer. It's a long read here. Basically, to summarize, we all know Russell Wilson was frustrated with his growing situation in Seattle. A run-heavy team that didn't really invest in the offensive line as Russ was sacked a lot. And it was starting to grow on him. It was starting to wear on him to the point where he was talking about it, you know, with Dan Patrick and other shows that he was popping on about his frustration level. He was at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl, and he was frustrated that he was not in that game, not even close to that game, not as close as he wanted to be. He told Dan Patrick at that time, "You play this game to be the best in the world. You know what I hate? I hate sitting there watching guys play the game. There's nothing worse." He was frustrated. He made multiple mentions in that interview and said the nearly 400 times he'd been sacked. He pointed it out. He knows the stats. The 400 times he'd been sacked in his career, the most in a player's first nine seasons since the 1970 merger. So clearly not investing in the offensive line the way he saw it, the way that this team was devoted to more of a run game, and maybe even before that, putting the dollars into the defense, which did get you a Super Bowl out of it. There was a moment, though, where it all seemed to go wrong, where Russell was like, this is crap. It was an October game in 2019, and they played at Atlanta. The Seahawks went up 24-0 at halftime. Russ is going crazy. And so keep in mind, that year, Russell Wilson, at that point, was right in the thick of it to be MVP. He was right there. Meaning that every game is more of a more you can add to your resume. Well, they're up 24-0 at halftime. Pete Carroll chose to only throw the ball five more times in that second half. Now, if you want to go back and look at that game, the Seahawks only they ended up winning that game 27-20. That means they were, if you do the math at home, they were outscored 20-3 in the second half. Seattle still wins the game, but that all but shattered Russell Wilson's shot at winning the MVP that year. Now, again, we can argue and say, hey, you run the ball, you're up 24-0. Did we learn nothing from that Atlanta football team, right? Don't get too conservative. You can get conservative, but five passes in the second half when your quarterback is Russell Wilson? Isn't that nuts? So clearly the divide really started there. And he wanted to get to a spot where they would value him to the point where they'd build around him and utilize his abilities more than they were doing so in Seattle. Is that a cause for concern? You have a new coaching staff, Nathaniel Hackett, great guy. This is a relatively young, is young the right word? Offensive line is, we have question marks surrounding the offensive line. Is Cortland Sutton a premier wide receiver in this league? Will Jerry Jeudy step up? Who's the starting tight end for this team? Is Alberto the guy? Javonte Williams, as high as I am on him, he's going into his second year. Is there a concern that if things start to go south as early as, I mean, we're brand new into this contract now, right? Does that kind of article concern you at all when you hear kind of an individualistic approach, which Russell's typically not about? It was just I don't know if alarming is the right word or concerning is the right word. A little jarring for me after all that we've heard about Russ and, you know, the team first attitude. He was after that MVP title. That's what he wanted. And he went on to elaborate and said, hey, I don't want to vote. I think more importantly, I want to win. Obviously, MVP is a special award. But according to this writer's sources, he was frustrated with the way the MVP race went down. And that game goes, we're really blowing that game up as to kind of the, I don't know, kind of the big deciding factor in his mind. Wow, they don't really value what I can do out here.
I think a little nugget of context that I was just looking up, this was the season after he had signed his extension with Seattle. So he had just signed that big contract. And the offseason after 2018, going into the 2019 season, obviously he was on an MVP trajectory. Does that have anything to do with it? That he got his money, now he wants his MVP, and he's not getting it. He's got his money from Denver.
Is that concerning for you at all? Like, again, just outside perspective, You look at a team that just signed this guy, and I'm not looking. We just had a debate last segment about, well, Bradley Chubb's the captain because there ain't anybody else. Is that a worry? And do you, like, there's now pressure on George Payton, on Nathaniel. There's pressure on Nathaniel Hackett. Because if you don't make the playoffs this year, it was somebody's fault. And does, if you don't make the playoffs this year, does that start to fester into, well, this coaching staff doesn't get it. Well, this general manager doesn't get it.
I think it's concerning in that you don't, like, obviously you have your star quarterback. Obviously he wants to be in the MVP conversation. As an individual, that's something you strive for, as an individual accolade. But in a team sport like football, does an MVP really matter that much? We've seen Aaron Rodgers win two, and he hasn't done anything with it.
But he's a Hall of Famer with it from that stuff. I mean, that adds to his...
And that's, again, individual accolades and honors and stuff.
I guess I'll say this. We always want players to give us more when we ask them questions about, do you want the MVP award? And when they don't, we're like, or when they do, like Russ did, we tend to go, oh, man, he's all about... I have no problem with an individual speaking out and saying, hey, I want to get the MVP. It's important to me. I have no issue with that. I have no issue if they do what Nikola Jokic did, and they're like, the MV what? What is it called? I don't care. 11:50 the time. We'll take a short break. We're on until 12:30 today. The rubber match coming up between the Brewers and the Rockies. Kyle Freeland going to the mound. Angels so into this one. I know. You're pumped. Well, but hey, you get to listen to Jerry freaking Schimmel and Jack Corrigan. That's all right. We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sportsnet, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the sound.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Remember, we're off at 12:30 today. We have Rockies and Brewers going at it at, 1:10? Is that right? So we'll be happy to send it over to Jerry Schimmel and Jack Corrigan at 12:30 as they get us set for this one later this afternoon. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It was a rough outing. There's no getting around it for Clay Millen. It was rough. He was 16 of 20, 137 yards, one touchdown, one pick. His QBR was 12. Yeah. I mean, that it's rough. It's rough. But let me just, again, what is he, 19? He is a freshman quarterback in a new world, man. He would have struggled with Nevada, too, I think, early. This is a new coaching staff that's bringing their Fort Air Raid stuff to Fort Collins, and they're installing it slowly but surely. Maybe not slowly but surely, but I didn't expect. I mean, it was 51-7. It wasn't good. Michigan dropped 50 points on the Rams. Rough. It did not cross that threshold, though, where I went, uh-oh. No, not even close. And I don't even know if it did cross that threshold, I'd really be freaking out. I got some stats that somebody dug up for me and sent them. An anonymous person. He's anonymous. We'll talk about that next. Also, the Lunch Rush. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.